Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Cheltimer, and our guest this week, Carolyn Helfenstein. So, Carolyn, how important was your research to the success of your novel? You spent 8 years, which included 3 years in an independent studies program on the research. So how did you prevent it from taking over from the fiction?
I didn't find it a problem at all. It seemed to me that all of the background information that I learned over those 3 years at the university was indeed the material that the characters could use to go along in their story. The characters were living out the history that I had studied.
Okay, good. So Rock Solid is your first novel. I think perhaps it had an emotional effect on you as a Newfoundlander who'd left the island at such an early age. How did you feel when you were writing it?
Well, when I was writing it, I was satisfied that I was bringing to the book the real material, the real essence of what a Newfoundlander is. And that was the important thing. I wanted to find out what it is like for a child to grow up in Newfoundland, to take that knowledge with them, to become adults, to become mothers and fathers. It was all that I had missed by growing up in Ontario, where there was not a Newfoundland father for me to cuddle into and to have stories told. All of that was missing. And so that these characters were giving me the satisfaction of becoming more like a Newfoundlander all the time.
What about yourself? Did you feel you became more of a Newfoundlander?
Well, that's the question. That is the question. And people ask me that. Well, what is it? And at first, I thought I could say, well, yes, now I feel a Newfoundlander. But what is equally important is that I found more than being a Newfoundlander, I felt more at peace with myself. I was no longer worrying who I was, feeling neither a Newfoundlander or a mainlander, which, by the way, I had been dubbed when you leave Newfoundlander, you become a mainlander. Maybe that shouldn't go in. But anyway, I had gained a sense of knowing that I was a Newfoundlander and having the satisfaction of also knowing who I was here in Ontario.
Well, that was all positive then. So you chose to construct your story around 3 generations and 2 families. That involves a great number of people. So why did you do that? Why did you choose to have such a large cast of characters?
Well, the truth of the matter is, I really didn't follow the usual pattern of thinking through what was my book was going to be about, what was the plan of attack, who might the characters be, what would be their goals, which I had learned all of that by taking courses in writing. This book was the result of my wanting to find out about being a Newfoundlander. From there, it just flowed. And first of all, I had 2 characters. They were lovers, James and Alicia. My Uncle Doug had told me the story about them. Soon, they had to have rescuers. So 2 Newfoundlanders rescued them. So now I had the core. I had 4 people. They met up with a man named Mr. Penny, and he introduced them to a whole new world. And so the world grew.
How many narrators are there in the book?
There's a narrator for every chapter, and some of my characters were narrating 6 and 8 chapters. Others only narrated 1 or 2.
Okay. Tell us a little about those characters, the main characters in Rock Solid.
Yes. Well, first of all, very quickly, there were the lovers, and that included not only a lovely daughter of a duke and duchess, but also a handsome young Irishman who had come to work for the duke. They immediately fell in love, characters one and two. They escaped to the new world, eloping. They almost succumbed to a shipwreck. They met up with two wonderful Newfoundlanders who saved their lives and welcomed them into their homes. They had to take on a new way of life, but first of all, because he, James, was familiar with horses, he became a stable manager and a breeder of wonderful horses. She became a school teacher. And for several years on the place where they were living, an island called Belle Island, she was known as the only school teacher. They had the second generation. We now have young people not being satisfied to live on that island. They were spreading their wings. A young fellow, one son, moved to St. John's and actually began to work for a businessman, and he himself changed from being the son of a fisherman to a very, very successful businessman in the town of St. John's, and that was in the 1800s. So these people didn't make huge changes in their life. Some of them remained fishermen, some of them moved to St. John's. Nobody moved away. This is a story about Newfoundland. This is a story about St. John's. And very, very slowly their lives, first of all, aged, and the new generation took over, and a third generation took over.
Okay, well, thank you, Carol. How about reading to us a piece from Rock Solid?
I'd be glad to.
So where are you going to choose? The beginning, the middle, the end?
I'm going to read from the last couple of pages of the first chapter.
Okay.
The young people have been able to board a boat to escape to the new world.
Mm-hmm.
The young man, James, has a responsibility to take a young horse to the new world because there's a buyer for this horse in the new world. But he, unbeknown by the young girl's father, is taking young Alicia with him to the new world. They are literally running away to be married and live their life in the new world. But something comes up. After a perfect trip across the ocean, waves come up and the boat is sinking. We knew the Hindsight would not survive much longer. Our ship was doomed and we knew it. But for us, there was one chance. Alicia and I had thought of a plan, and depending on the cooperation of the young horse, we might survive. He deserved a chance to live his life, and maybe the plan would save us as well. It seemed much better than accepting death. The Hindsight had begun to list. I tied the long leather horse lead around Alicia's waist and hooked it to a second lead, which I hooked around my waist. If we are going to die, we're going to die together, I said to Alicia. Without a second thought, the two of us stepped out of our tiny cabin and raced toward the stallion's stall. He seemed to respond to our voices and our comforting hands. We checked the heavy stabilizing lines that were still properly attached to the side of the young stallion's surcingle before we undid the ends attached to the walls. We threw each of those loose lens over the stallion's withers and hooked them together. That contraption would provide us with a reliable means of holding on to the horse. The relentless waves bore down the passageway on us. Our young stallion rose above the force of the wave, drawing him up and over the ship's railing. Never for a moment imagining that we would not make it, we rose with the horse and were carried into the sea. We sensed the Hindsight slipping away. The horse sensed the right direction. I prayed to God, who had not heard me pray since I was a child, that we would make it to shore. Our horse hauled us farther and farther from what had been our sturdy Hindsight and those that had been given up to the sea. But we were not safe, even if we thought we were. A new enemy assaulted us. It was the cold, cold water. But the stallion took us to shore. Cautiously, the magnificent young animal lifted his head, took in the smells of this strange place, and disappeared soundlessly behind the blackened screen of the night air. At that moment, I, too, wanted to die. I knelt beside my wife. She was motionless. I looked up beyond the clouds to where her help was and cried out in utter anguish to God in heaven, and thinking it would help, I whispered to the devils in the deep, "Life surely can't be this cruel," but no one heard me. Then a young woman's voice rose above the winds, and I saw the light of a lantern. Out of nowhere, the gentle hands of a huge man scooped up my wife. He turned, and embracing her with the tenderness a father would hold his newborn child, he disappeared. The woman's voice rose above the wind again, and she appeared with the lantern. She offered her hand. "Welcome to South Cove. Now hurry." I needed no other word, no other encouragement. I was on land, and somewhere through the gloom, a giant man had taken my wife.
Well, a very dramatic piece there. Thank you very much, Carolyn, for reading to us the novel Rock Solid. Where can our listeners buy your books, Carolyn?
Well, locally, Let's Talk Books in Coburg, Furby House Books, Port Hope, in Kincardine and Godrej, where we used to live, Fincher's Bookstore, and in Sarnia, The Bookkeeper. Also on Amazon.com.ca and UK, Google's iBook, etc. And I'm on the internet.
Great. So to connect with us, listeners, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for who we might interview in future programs to us at our website, wordonthehills.com, where all these programs are archived and available to listeners at any time. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Northumberland 89.7 Truly Local Radio.